This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross, Colleen O'Brien, and Chris Sullivan. Kate Starbird, former basketball legend. I guess current basketball legend, because legends never get old, right?
They do fade. They fade quickly.
But she is now better known as the co-founder of the University of Washington's Center for an Informed Public. And one of the reasons we want to talk to you is that part of your job, you sort of trace the evolution of rumors, right?
Yeah, we look at how rumors spread. We focus a little bit on social media, how rumors spread through and across social media, but also how they move from those kinds of platforms to more traditional news platforms as well.
Right. And we find ourselves now in the ideal environment for that, because not only do we have an invisible threat that nobody completely understands, but because of that, we are all now getting all our information, or at least most of it, through social media, because that's the way we're keeping in contact with our friends and relatives now. So tell me some of the stuff that you've been tracing from it, and look at it through the eyes of a researcher, what you find interesting about this current situation.
What I find interesting is actually to go back a little bit further to just what we've known even before social media about how we respond to crisis events. And how the nature of a crisis event, especially of this kind, is, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't really know what's going on. The best information changes day to day. And so that's kind of evolving. And in that situation of high uncertainty and also an anxiety, right, because this affects our lives in ways that, you know, we're afraid for our health, we're afraid for our families, our communities, and things like that, as well as, you know, financial effects and all of that. And so we had this high anxiety and a high uncertainty. And in those conditions, what we want to do as people is to resolve that uncertainty and that anxiety. And we do that by coming together and trying to talk to each other and get information and kind of come up with explanations for what's going on that help us kind of understand the situation better. Historically, that happened like in person, or you'd call somebody. Now it's happening online. It's happening with people from all over the world. And we're coming together in spaces that also have sort of, you know, political delineations from of the other ways that we interact on social media or other kinds of groupings. And so we're actually in this really ripe situation, not only to sort of spread rumors, which are kind of a natural thing that happen in crisis events, but also to be kind of vulnerable to misinformation and intentional disinformation as well. And so it's really kind of a situation that's ripe for the spread of misinformation. And so we are busy.
Yeah. Well, I see two opposing tendencies here. Most of us, when we hear about a new case, for example, we're desperate to look for reasons why this wouldn't apply to us. And that's why there's such a thirst to know, okay, did these people have pre-existing conditions? Aha, if they did, and I don't have a pre-existing condition, that's a way for me to say, oh, this is not going to affect me or my family. Those on the outside, though, who want to sow chaos are looking for ways to make sure that everybody is suitably frightened about what's going on. So you're right, we're being tugged in both directions. And so how do you decide what to believe and what not to believe?
I think it's such a hard question. And I think as a researcher, there's one answer. And as a person who's been in Seattle for the last 3.5 weeks, it's a different answer. Huh. Because from the researcher's perspective, it's, you know, slow down. Don't engage as much with information. Just kind of tap into it a couple times a day. It's better for your health to not spend so much time in there. But as an individual with, you know, living with a family member who has, who's in a high risk group, with parents in an elder living facility in the Seattle area, it's that time of huge anxiety personally. And all of the recommendations that I would give as a researcher come in conflict with some of my own behaviors, which is to constantly check the mm-hmm. information streams and see what's going on for exactly, you know, some of the same reasons you said, you know, to try to come up with explanations of how we're going to be okay. And at the same time, realize that there's just a lot of things we don't know right now. And it's hard. It's really hard to be in that situation. And so I've just been trying to take it day by day and, you know, try to listen to my researcher self recommendations as much as I can, but I give myself a little leeway. And to be honest, like I called out one of my siblings for sharing misinformation along the way or a rumor that turned out to be false. But if I look back through all of my text messages to all my family, you know, we're all vulnerable to misinformation. I've shared at least one link that turned out not to be exactly what I thought it had been. So mm-hmm. Just to not not be hard on yourself in this situation. We're all vulnerable to this.
Well, that's reassuring that even a high-level researcher like yourself is human once in a while. What do you feel the responsibility of the social media platforms themselves should be at a time like this?
This is a tricky question. It's really hard because as a researcher of misinformation, I, you know, have constantly recommended social media platforms to understand how their platforms are shaping the spread of misinformation and not necessarily to be heavy-handed, but maybe to give affordances or give features to their users to help their users make better sense of this and be able to make better decisions. At the same time, there are, you know, movements by a lot of the platforms to try to stop certain kinds of misinformation from spreading in this crisis event. And I think those solutions for many of us are a lot more palatable right now because we're afraid of this crisis event. It seems to, you know, it has a lot of political tensions, but the platform decisions seem, the platforms are going to take these actions to stop the spread of misinformation. And that's okay in this context, but we might not want that in another context. Well, the problem with sort of taking action with these sort of emergency powers, governments do it too. You take these emergency powers, but some of those things linger and they stay on and they get moved on to other kinds of contexts as well, or other kinds of times when we might not have wanted the platforms to be so heavy-handed in what they decided to allow us to say. And so I think even as I want the platforms to be held accountable and to make decisions, and most of what I would recommend is always just kind of empowering their users with more information, more ability to make sense of these spaces. And at the same time, I think there really is this point when misinformation is going viral because of the way the platform works. I think that's a time when they should feel the responsibility to dampen that spread. I don't think they should be shutting down people from being able to come up with explanations. And sometimes they're going to turn out to be wrong, but that's part of the process. And that's part of the healing process for us, or the psychological dealing process for us, is to try to come up with explanations. So I don't think they should be heavy handed in stopping all of that conversation. But when something begins to go viral and have a widespread, and that has a misinformation, or especially disinformation, when it's intentionally there for some sort of financial or political objective, I think it is important that they take action. But I just want them to be thoughtful about what it means to take action in this emergency situation and how that can be rolled back when we get back into more normal times.
Kate Starbird is co-founder of the University of Washington Center for an Informed Public. And Kate, good to talk with you again. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.